But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
Let's go ahead and open our Bibles tonight to Genesis chapter number 5. Genesis chapter number 5. This is called the Bible graveyard, because everybody dies in it, except one person. That's the one guy we're going to talk about tonight. So Genesis chapter number 5. You know, when you choose, or when the Lord lays a theme upon your heart, you have grand visions of all these different messages that you're going to preach on, the way that goes along with the theme. And I know we went through the book of Nehemiah, and we talked about building our lives through Nehemiah and things like that. And so during the month of November, at least a few of the messages are going to kind of focus on building different areas of our life. And tonight's is building your walk with God. Building your walk with God. In the Bible here, there's two people who's lived that's never died, except obviously us and the people that are alive today. But there's two people who lived and that never died. And this is one of the people. This is Enoch. We know the other one is Elijah. There's also some other interesting, I bet you if I asked you that, most of you guys would have known that answer. There's also only two people in the Bible that actually, it says, they walked with God. Now, I know there's more than two that did it, but there's two that was given this description. It was Enoch, and there was also Noah. And there's also only two people in the Bible that has the description that says that they pleased God. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about how they said he had the testimony that he pleased God. And Enoch was the one, and Jesus was the other one. So Enoch is a very special character in the Bible. It's a limited amount of verses we have about him. There's found three different spots. We'll look at all three different spots tonight. It's in Genesis here, obviously, also in Hebrews, and also in the book of Jude. And tonight, I'd like to just look at this idea of walking with God. And hopefully it will help us, strengthen us a little bit, and encourage us with our own walk. You know, the Lord desires that we be close to him. The Lord desires that we continually walk with him. And let's get right into the message tonight. Let's look here in Genesis chapter number 5. We'll read verses 21 through 24. The Bible says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah." As I was studying, I noticed something that was drawn out to attention, that the last five letters of Methuselah's name is Selah, and which means stop and think about. And so it's kind of interesting. Methuselah was, as we most of us know, was the longest man, lived the longest of anybody that lived on the earth and died on the earth. It says in verse 22, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, get our hearts, minds ready for the sermon tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you at this time in the service. Lord, we do it on purpose because we want to set our minds and our hearts towards heaven and towards your word. And Lord, I pray that you just help us get our focus tonight. Lord, that we desire to work on our relationship with you, that we desire to build our walk with you. And Lord, that it'd be an encouragement tonight as we look at this story about this man named Enoch. In Jesus' name, amen. Point number one is, walking with God requires a starting point. Requires a starting point. If you look at this passage of Scripture, I know I brought this out about 2.5 years ago when we went through the book of Genesis, and you see in verse number 22, it says, "And Enoch walked with God after." You see that next word in that passage of Scripture is that after he begat Methuselah. So there was a starting point for Enoch. It's an amazing thought there. If you really, truly want to walk with God, you know what you have to do? You have to start. And this, and you say, Pastor, that's good. You know, it's Sunday night. There's probably not a lot of people here that does not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. But you know, there's got to be a starting point for Enoch at 65 after he had Methuselah. And I tell you, when you have a son or when you have a daughter, many times that is a time that God gets a hold of your heart about maybe making some changes. I know when my youngest brother was born, it kind of shook my parents up a little bit, and they made some changes in their life those years. There was a starting point for that, and they're renewed for the walk of the Lord. See, no one is born walking with God. There has to be a time in your life when you begin this journey. Believing in God is not your walk with God. Now, let me help you understand this. You know, there's people who say they believe in God, but never have truly put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible even says that the devils know and believe in God. But here's the key. If you want to start this relationship with God, if you want to start this walk with God, there must be a starting point. No one's born walking with God. You say, well, what am I walking with? Well, you think what it says in Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust and of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. See, every person has to have a beginning point, a starting point with this walk. See, before we were saved, the Bible says that we walked after our own flesh, we walked after the things of this world. But when we repented and when we turned to Christ, we had now a new ability. We had this new starting point that we could walk with God. We could have fellowship with God. We could have a relationship with the creator of the universe. And he walks with us and he talks with us. And, you know, he wants us to be able to have good fellowship. You know, but I wonder here, you know, what made this change? You know, well, to be honest with you, when a person gets saved, they recognize something. They recognize there was a need. This walk, this starting point began because there was a need in their life. They saw themselves as a sinner, and they confessed their sins. They asked Christ to save them. This begins their walk. And I often wonder, why did Enoch, after 65 years, finally get, I'm going to walk with God. Now, many people have children, and sometimes it does make a difference, and sometimes it does have something special in their life that causes them to want to get closer to God. And I think one of the best times you can be a witness to somebody is at a funeral. When someone dies, many times the family is considering death. But when you think about a person, when they have a child, maybe a first-time child, and they hold that child in their hands for the first time, man, the responsibility is overwhelming. And they have just witnessed the awesome miracle of the birth of the child. And there's no way, I don't think somebody can deny the fact that they had to be a creator in that. It's a great time when they're considering their responsibility and they're considering life to be a witness to them and encourage them. You know, how are you going to bring this child up? They need to know about God and things like that. But there's something in this story that I think is pretty neat and helps us understand why Enoch, I believe, at this point in time, begins to walk with God. And it's found in the name Methuselah. Now, I think I've told you this before. If you have not heard this before, this is kind of neat. The name Methuselah means, when he dies, it shall come. And you go back, you can look it up in the Hebrew, and it says, when he dies, it shall come. Now, you say, what a name. Who's going to name their kid that? Well, Enoch is also known for being the first prophet. At least the first prophet that's recorded in the Bible. You go and you look in the book of Jude. He talked about the 10,000s that were coming with Christ. And Methuselah here, he names this. I think God reveals something unto him that he names this because when Methuselah dies, something happens. Anybody know what that is? The flood, that's right. So when he dies, it shall come. Now, can you imagine raising Methuselah? You can imagine, you know, that when he dies, you know, death is coming. You're going to protect that kid. You're going to make sure nothing bad happens to that kid. It says he begat other sons and daughters. You can imagine, you know, all the other sons and daughters, you know, Bobby and Susie, all them, you know, they got the cool names. He got Methuselah. You know, they said, oh, you can go do whatever you want. You can go run in the street. It doesn't matter. But Methuselah, you can't do anything because when you die, it shall come. It's coming someday. And see, I think Enoch knew and he figured something out, or the Lord revealed something unto him, that when Methuselah died, that there was a coming judgment. You know, and you think about it. This is just a side point. Think about the long suffering of God. He considered a long suffering. He said, "What do you mean a long suffering God? He punished Noah. He punished the world." Well, you know, who lived the longest in all the world? Methuselah. Because when Methuselah died, it was going to come. It shows the long sufferance and the patience of God. And I tell you that there needs to be a starting point for our walk with God. And if you're here tonight and you've been coming to church, and I know most of you are regulars and most of you have been coming to church most of your life, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you know what? God, be in his long suffering and his patience and his kindness, wants to begin this fellowship with you, wants to begin this relationship, wants to begin this walk with you. Get it settled, because there is a judgment coming. And Methuselah here in this story, over 900 years lives because I think he's giving as many people a chance to repent and get right with God. According to what I understand, you know, the world was pretty wicked back then. I probably wouldn't have waited that long. Probably after 10, 15, 20, 40 years, they're not going to get right. Let's go ahead and punish them. That's not what God does. Judgment is coming, but because of God's long suffering, we have not seen it here in this world. The Christ is coming back. There is going to be a tribulation period. There is going to be a time when he returns. And I think it's because of his long suffering. He wants to see people saved. See, I think Enoch's life was changed because he knew judgment was coming. He knew that there was a need there. And you think about this, there's a need that we get with our walk with God. You say, "Pastor, you know, this is for unsaved people." I agree. But also, I think there's many of us in this room that probably needs to start this rewalk. That needs to say, you know what, I haven't been walking with him. I haven't taken advantage of this. Yes, I have a relationship, but our fellowship has been broken. It's not as sweet as it used to be. You know, no one's ever cared for me like Jesus, but I don't really care that much about him because I haven't been giving him the time. You know what, maybe there should be a restarting point to our walk with Christ and our walk with God. You know, maybe there is someone here tonight that not sure about they're saved. Maybe they're confused and not sure if they died today they would go to heaven, and hopefully they get it right. But think about this. How is your walk with God? Enoch saw there was a need in it. Enoch knew that Methuselah was coming and that when he died, it was going to come. And he says, you know what? If there's judgment coming, if there is judgment that's going to come and fall upon this earth, my life is not that important. I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to preach and teach whatever God tells me to preach and teach. And you know what? I'm going to live for God. Because he saw the need. He knew that the judgment was coming. And you know what? There is judgment coming someday. There is a world that needs to know Christ because he is going to return someday. And we need to say, you know what? Maybe I need to restart this walk with God. Make this decision to walk again with God. Maybe if we've been walking with, we used to walk with God, now we're heading in the wrong path, maybe we need to get back to that. And you can imagine, you know, sometimes I use my sons and every once in a while my wife for sermon illustrations. But you can imagine that everywhere that Enoch went to preach, he probably took Methuselah with him, sat him there, and he says, "When he dies, judgment's going to come." What a sermon illustration. And, you know, I know we laugh about it a little bit, but the truth of the matter is, you know, when God gave him, I think they knew the judgment was coming. I think for four different generations, there was preaching of this upcoming judgment. Now, I don't think Enoch maybe had the idea that it was going to rain. I think he just knew that judgment was going to come. Second thing I want you to see is not only does your walking with God require a starting point, I think most of you have that covered, but you know, maybe we need a restart. Maybe we need a reset. Say, you know what, I haven't been doing it very well. Second thing is, walking with God requires stability. Walking with God requires stability. You see what it says here in verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. So you think about this, after he begat Methuselah, it says he walked with God for 300 years. Can you imagine that? Walking with God. I don't know about you, but 3 hours sometimes can be a struggle with me. 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months. But for 300 years, this man, it was a stable thing. And sometimes it's a challenge that when we walk with God, sometimes we get before God. I mean, have you ever tried walking before God? Have you ever already decided, hey, God, this is what I want to do? And we kind of drag God along. Come on, God, catch up to me. And then many of us, we walk behind God. God has a desire and a purpose for us. And he's saying, here's your plan. Here's your purpose. Let's go walking this way. And you know what? We walk behind him. And the amazing thing is to be able to have a stable walk with God. The first thing, it's going to involve surrender. It's going to involve surrender. You know, you think about it. Enoch walks with God. Someone has to set the pace. And the Bible says in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? And here's the idea is if you really truly want to walk with God, if you truly want to have a walk where you're living in his presence and living in his light and dwelling in the habitation of that secret place of the Almighty, and you're walking with God, you're going to have to agree. And someone's going to have to surrender their will. And let me give you a little clue. God is not going to surrender his will. God is not going to change. God is not going to change his mind about it. God is going to set and have his, he's set in his ways. You can't be walking with God without being surrendered. And, you know, the Christian life is not, you know, a spurt where we run and then we stop and where we run again a little bit and we stop. And athletics at practice, sometimes they do sprints. And that means you're supposed to go as hard as you can for a short period of distance. And it builds certain muscles and it trains your breathing and things like that to be prepared for those spots when you need that short burst of speed. But that's not what the Christian life is. The Christian life is a steady, stable walk with God. It's you saying, okay, Lord, whatever it is you want, I'm surrendered to you. I'm not going to try to get ahead of you. I'm not going to walk behind you. But instead, I'm going to have a stable walk with you. And you know what the problem is? Many of us, we don't have that stability. Many of us do not have that steadiness. Many of us were, hey, I'm walking with God and I'm good there for a couple days. And you know what? A few days later, I stop. Oh, then I'm going to start again and then I'm going to stop. What happens? We need to surrender our wills. We've seen people walk. We talked this morning about humans running, but another interesting thing is sometimes to watch people walk their dogs. You ever seen somebody walk a dog and they have to drag them along a little bit? Not as much as, you know, you see somebody walking their dog or actually their dog walking them and their dog is out there and they're crazy and they're just going after and they're trying to drag the owner. You know, the pet might be only 4 or 5 pounds. The owner might be a couple hundred pounds and the owner's just sitting there and they're trying to drag him along. You know what? That dog does not have a surrendered will. That dog is saying, you know what? I'm going this way. I want you to come. And in all their strength, they're trying to pull. And I have a dog that used to act like that. We don't have him any longer, but it was Oscar. He's gone now. But man, Oscar was full of life and full of energy. And boy, he wanted to take off and he get his 10 feet or 20 feet of the leash. And he thought he could pull me along. But Oscar weighed 10 pounds and I'd weighed, well, that's none of your business. And it was like he was trying to walk me. Now, don't think I'm trying to be disrespectful in this conversation, this illustration, but sometimes I think we try to walk God. We and you know we're like our 2, 3, or 100 pounds, and God's almighty, all powerful, and we're trying to God. This is where I want to go. This is where that's not walking with God. And then you see those other dogs that have been trained. When I was growing up, my dad got one of those dogs from the police department. It used to be a police dog. It was a Doberman Pinscher. It was a big dog. It was a mean dog. It liked us but his name was Sarge. No one would come in our backyard. We grew up in a bad neighborhood, and where I lived at, there was a gang in our neighborhood. The area we lived in wasn't too bad, but you know, most of the streets, it was a pretty bad neighborhood. And Sarge was back there. When Sarge was back there, nobody was going to mess with us. So I could sit in my backyard and laugh at the other kids because my dog would eat them up. But you know what? That dog walked with my dad. You know, never left his side. He kept on a leash because he needed to. But he didn't really need it. The dog was surrendered in his will. He understood what he was supposed to do. He walked right alongside with him. He knew who the master was. He knew who was supposed to be taking the step. If my dad started to run, he would run. If my dad started to walk slower, he would walk slower. If my dad walked faster, whatever my dad did, that dog would do. And I think sometimes you see some of these service animals. Man, aren't they amazing what they can do? You don't ever see a service animal trying to pull a blind person, do you? You don't ever see a service animal sit down and say, I'm not going somewhere unless it's going to help the person they're trying to protect. Why is that? Because that service animal has surrendered his will and says, I'm going to walk with my master. And if we really truly want to have a stable walk with God, not one that's spurt, walk, stop, run again, spurt, walk, we're going to have to surrender our will. There is no one who is walking with God that does not have a surrender will. Until we demolish our will of our flesh, we will not be able to walk with God like he wants us to. Many of us know Christ, but many of us have not gone our very far walk with God because either, once again, we're walking behind God, okay, God, someday, or we're running in front of God and say, God, I got this idea. Come on, come on. We want you to follow along. That's not walking with him. That's finding his will, finding his stability, finding his pace, and walking with him. I think sometimes people take their Christian lives and they want to add so much into their Christian lives that they're not stable in anything. I have sometimes people that come and say, let's start this ministry. And, you know, we prayerfully consider these things, but I don't want to do anything halfway. As a church, if it's got the name of Christ on it, if it's got the name of Faith Baptist Church on it, we should try to do it to the best of our ability. And we need to make sure that we're walking with the Lord. We're doing the things that God wants us to do. You know, surrendered our will. I think about I wasn't around back then, but when the Japanese, on one day, they were our mortal enemies back in World War II, and we were killing one another. Next day, they surrendered. And they've walked with America. I mean, they have been our allies for many years after that. And they have surrendered their wills. Same thing with us. Are we going to surrender our will to God? This is if we really truly want to walk with him. If we want to get this idea, having the right fellowship, having the right friendship, we got to learn to be like that service dog. Know who the master is. Know why we're there. And walk with him. Not only does a stable walk involve the surrendering your will, but also involves a strong stand. Say, Pastor, what do you mean? If you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to have a strong stand. And Jude verses 14 and 15, I'm going to turn there. I think it might be on the back of it, on that screen back there for you, but I don't have it in my notes. But in Jude 14 and 15, you see another description of Enoch. Enoch here is a preacher or a prophet. It says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Now, this is a future prophecy, but he knows that judgment's coming. Verse 15, now listen to what's being said here. To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly, among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. So Enoch here is a preacher of righteousness, and he's preaching against ungodliness. You see in that verse 15, there's 4, 5, maybe 6 times he uses the word ungodly. I tell you, when you go to preach against ungodliness, try preaching to ungodly people. It doesn't go over very well. You know what you do? You face persecution. And I am sure that Enoch in his day and his time, he faced persecution. He faced problems. He faced people mocking him. He faced people, I don't know what all the different things. We think about Noah, and we think about Noah, all the persecution he did when he built that ark. But Enoch was there, and he was preaching to an ungodly nation, saying, judgment was coming. And I'm sure he faced persecution. But here's the key. When you face persecution, and you're able to continue on being faithful. Remember, what did he do? He had a stable walk. He said he walked for 300 years. He walked with God. He lived for 65 years before that. That's 365. He said, what's 365? Well, it's 365 days in a year. And I know this is a little bit of a reach, but I think it gives the idea that you're walking day by day with God. And that's what I think Enoch is doing here. And as he's walking with God, he is facing persecution. Why do you say that? He says, well, the Bible says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, what does persecution have to do with your walk with the Lord? when you're persecuted for your walk, you will draw closer to God. I know it's happened to me before. When I face persecution and when I face hardship, it causes me to grow closer to Him. It calls me to have a check in my life and say, okay, Lord, I'm not walking ahead of you here, are you, my Lord, because I don't want to get ahead of you. I know I'm facing this persecution. If I have to face persecution for righteousness' sake, if I had to face persecution because I'm preaching and teaching the Word of God, so be it. But I draw closer. And Lord, I'm facing this hardship. I'm facing this hard time. These people are giving me a hard time. These people are this and that. You know what? I'm going to draw closer to God. And where do you see that at? In the world that we live in today, there is hundreds of thousands of people who die for their faith and the cause of Jesus Christ throughout the world. Now, America does not know it that well yet. I say yet because it looks like there's coming a day, and I don't want to seem like I'm being boastful or light about it, because when persecution comes, it's not going to be easy for us Americans, because us Americans aren't very, many of us are not very, tough. When persecution comes and when people start challenging us for our faith, or we start being punished for our faith and things like that, you know, it's that question is, one, are we going to stand there? See, persecution develops a deeper walk with God. Persecution is something that will cause you to have a greater experience with the Lord than you ever had before. And I tell you, persecution can come anywhere. If you go to a public school, you can be persecuted. You go to a Christian school, you can be persecuted for your faith. Hopefully, if you're homeschool, I know Andrew persecutes Christian a little bit, but that's something different. But it's, you know, there is a stand. I know sometimes you have to take a stand in your family. Now, if there's a blatant sin going on, and you feel like your family can't participate, maybe with other parts of your family because of the blatant sin, and you have to refrain and you have to walk away from that, you're going to get persecuted for that. Is it because of something you've done? No, it's because of their blatant sin. But no, they don't want to hear about godliness. They don't want to hear about righteousness. But as you're being persecuted by others, you'll draw, if you have the right motivation in your preaching and teaching, you'll draw closer to God. You won't want to run from Him because you've done something wrong, you've spoken out of turn. No, you'll draw closer to Him and say, Lord, I need wisdom here. I need guidance. I need to hear from you. Standing for the Lord will make you stronger. Your stand will encourage your worship. Third thing, not only is it walking with God requires, the third thing is walking with God requires a secret place. A secret place. If you like to take your Bibles to Psalms chapter 91, you can, but it's up there on the screen. And you say, Pastor, a secret place, I know what that is. It's that place where I can go where nobody else is at. Yeah, I got this special place at my house, or I got this special place out in the woods, or I got this special place. And you know what? Those are all good things. I have places like that where I don't like to have some private time alone with God. I have spots that I like to go and I like to not to be bothered. I'm the type of person that cannot deal with much noise. I always tell the people when there's somebody out in the other office, please shut the door because I can't do my work and study and I can't do my work. And that's, some people can't do that. And I struggle with that, with noise and trying to get things accomplished. My mind gets lost in the focus. But that's not really what they're talking about here, I think, in Psalms 91. In Psalms 91, the Bible says in verse number 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, that word dwelleth means that they're staying there. It means that you're not just a hit or miss thing. It doesn't mean that you're showing up and you're leaving. It's not the hotel where you stay two nights and then you go home. It's your dwelling place. Verse number 9 says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Now, I'm not super smart when it comes to a lot of things. But according to my studies, that word habitation and dwelleth is the same Hebrew word. So what the Bible is saying here, and from what I understand, is that Jesus Christ, our Lord, is that secret place. And it's when we stay with him and when we reside there. Habitation is the same type of thought with dwelleth. It's the idea when we are staying with him. And it's when we're walking with him. It's when it's a constant, it's a stable walk, it's being there with him. We're communicating. We're not just saying, okay, Lord, it's Sunday, it's my day to spend with you and then spend the rest of the week doing whatever I want. No, no, no. If we're going to build our walk with God, if we're going to build and want to draw closer, there's got to be a starting point and there's got to be stability. It's just got to be a consistent walk, not before God, not after God, but we're walking with him. But it determines right here in this secret place. Are we going to dwell there? Are we going to stay with him? Is he someone that we're going to be close with? See, I don't think God loved Enoch more than he loves me. You can think whatever you want. You can say, well, yeah, God just loved Enoch better. He gave, you know, he did this, he did that. God gave him this prophecy about the future. You know, if God gave us a prophecy, many of us would drop the ball. God didn't love Enoch any more than he loved me. The relationship that God had with Enoch is the same type of relationship I can have with him. He that dwelleth in the secret place is because thou hast made us. And it's an amazing thought there. Is it in our relationship with God, are we going to dwell there with him? He say, well, what do you mean by dwelling? Well, think about it. How do we see the description of Enoch here? It says here in Enoch that he walked with God in verse 24. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6, it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. Now, look what it says here, that he pleased God. Okay, so in the Old Testament, it said that he walked with God. In the New Testament, it says that he pleased God. But didn't you see in verse number 6, what does it say? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. So Enoch walked by faith. And that means by the dwelling is that we're dwelling with God is when we have a life that is lived by faith. We're walking with him when God has a certain step and we're walking right beside him and we're not getting after him, we're not getting before him, and we're just walking with him is when we have faith in that God and we trust in him. The Bible says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That is what Enoch had. That is what Enoch did. He did those things that pleased God, and that was faith. Now, I want to encourage you, it's not about a religion. It's about a relationship. It's not about rules. And I think rules are good. It's not about standards. I think standards are good. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's walking with him. It's a relationship of faith that we can have. And that secret place, it only gets there. You only get there by faith. I tell you, God can speak to you. You can walk with God, whether you're here completely by yourself. This is one of my private places. I love coming in here early in the morning or late at night and just being in here and just praying. And I see where you guys sit sometimes. And I go and sometimes I pray. And it's just my time alone with the Lord. And I just enjoy it in here. This is one of my prayer closets. But see, the secret place is when we live by faith and we dwell and we habitate with the Almighty. Not only is it a relationship of faith, I think it's a fellowship of purity. Think about what the Bible says in 1 John verse 1, 6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It's if we're sinning and saying that our fellowship with God is okay, it's not true. We're not walking with him. God is on his walk. God is doing what he needs to do. He's accomplishing what he needs to in this world. And many of us are sitting on the sideline. We've sat down. I know that I've watched in movies before, you know, a really, really big dog sit down and a little kid try to be pulling it. And it's kind of comical sometimes because a little kid can't move that dog. And, you know, sometimes we get stubborn. And we sit, and we say, God, I'm not going anywhere. I like where I'm at. I like my sin. I like my life. I like everything that's going on. I like who I am right now. If I go walking with you, you might make me like Enoch, get up and preach about judgment. You might make me like Noah to get up and build an ark. You might make me... See, it's about a relationship with God. Yes, you may suffer persecution, but as you suffer persecution, you'll draw closer to God. So let's think about this. There must be a starting point. Have you been saved? Secondly, if you are saved, are you walking with him? If not, let's set the reset button. Let's start the restart button. See, somebody just set the reset button right there. It went ding. Did you hear that? Secondly, let's have a staple walk. I think many of us are in this description. We had to surrender our wills. Some of us are trying to lead God to where we want him to go. Some of us are saying, God, I don't want to go where you want me to go. Let's walk with him with stable by being surrendered, by taking a strong stand. Last but not least, let's find that secret place. Let's find that spot where faith and purity encourages us with that fellowship with Jesus Christ and encourages us with that walk with God. Don't get me wrong, I don't think there's anything wrong with having a prayer closet. You can even call it your secret place if you want to. I think there's time where we need to be alone and away from God. And we already pushed a reset button. We don't need any more buttons. And that we need to be alone with God, and we need to have that private time. But that is not the secret place in my mind. The secret place is when we're walking with him. We're there with him. We're in the presence of the Almighty. We're dwelling there. Where our habitation is there. I am wanting to be in the presence of God. I want to be walking with God. I want this fellowship. He walks with me. He talks with me. That's where I want to be. That's where it talks about in the secret place. The question is, are you there? Enoch, great example of the Bible. He is one of the two guys that never died. He was one of the two guys that the Bible says he walked with God. I know there was other people who walked with God. Your favorite Bible characters might be other people that walked with God, but the Bible says he walked with God. Only two people says that about. And only one or two people that says he pleased God. He found that dwelling place. He stayed there. What changed his life? He knew judgment was coming. We know judgment's coming. Let's allow that to change our lives, to walk with him. A stable walk is a surrendered walk, and it is a walk that involves the secret place. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation. If you want to build your walk with God, let's learn how to be stable. Let's learn to surrender. Let's learn to take that stand. And when persecution comes, let's allow that to help us draw closer to him. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you speak to people's hearts. When I see the story of Enoch and understand the message of Methuselah and his son and how this changed his heart, this changed his pace, this changed his walk, that at 65 he says, you know what? I'm going to walk with God. I know judgment's coming. I'm going to tell the people that he wants me to tell. I'm just going to keep my eyes focused on him. And day by day, moment by moment, I'm going to stay in that secret place. I'm going to dwell with him. I'm going to make him my habitation. I'm just going to live for him. I'm going to do what he wants me to do. And I'm going to draw closer to him. I'm sure there was days and times when people questioned him. I'm sure there was days and times where he faced persecution. But he resided in the confidence that he had in his walk with you and his own, Lord, relationship with you. Lord, I pray that we reject this idea of religious formalities and be interested in the relationship that you have, the things that we can draw nigh to you, close to you. Lord, that we long to seek after you and search for you. Lord, I am thankful that we have a God that we can walk with. I'm thankful that our God is the one true God, but many other people fear their false gods. But Lord, you're described as loving and kind and wants to develop a friendship. So we talk about your long suffering. Lord, if there's someone here tonight that needs to start this walking or have this starting point of accepting you, Lord, I pray they come to a saving knowledge of you. But Lord, for the majority of us in here that are saved and are on our way to heaven, help us to restart that walk with you tonight. Help us to say, you know what? This is worth it. And I'm going to do my best to walk with him this week. I'm going to do my best to be stable in my walk. I'm not going to try to get ahead of him, and I'm not going to try to drag behind. I'm just going to find his will and just walk with him this week. I'm going to surrender my will. I'm not going to be like someone trying to drag somebody along, but instead, I know who my master is. I know who the one is in charge. I know the one who knows what's best for me. And I'm going to follow his pace. I'm going to walk with him. In Jesus' name, amen.